Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning. It is a lovely day to be here on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com along with you. I am Phil Elson, got Matt Jones in studio, got C-Unit, Christian Johnston as well, and we got you for the next 3 hours on Halftime here on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. We had a great time yesterday, not just during the show, which is always entertaining, especially when we're in the same room, but got the boys all together. And watched a little soccer yesterday at one of the local Mexican establishments near our ESPN Arkansas headquarters. And Matt, if we're just looking at the entertainment value of the two matches that were on yesterday, whoa, are you going to go to 11 out of 10 or would you give it just 10 out of 10 yesterday? Because you had a couple of really exciting high-level matches played and should have a good final in both the Copa America and the Euro. And outside of that, it's just kind of fun sitting in the middle between you and C-Unit because it's kind of rare that we get the three of us all together for a little bit of a social event.
Ollie, Ollie, oxen free, right? That's what you're saying if you're England. Ollie Watkins, he's a West Ham, London club, English cat, gets in there. He went in there 10 minutes, him and Cole Palmer. Gareth Southgate finally got something right, taking Harry Kane out. Harry Kane's put in a lot of work. I still think you got to put somebody up there with Harry Kane, but hey, they made the sub. They fell down one. They got that penalty kick. He was able to convert that and a team effort. And, you know, the Netherlands, they took Memphis Depay out at half. I didn't understand that. I had England. And then the other one, Colombia, seriously, they're better than Uruguay. If you're down to 10 men on 10 on 11 and you
15 minutes into the match too.
That's what I mean. For 65, 75 minutes you're down with they got the red card at 45 plus 1. So it was just the whole second half, but you have to go out there and compete for 45 minutes and not give up. You're the better team. So Colombia went out there and earned it. Uruguay looked void of ideas. They looked bland. They looked like they had one attack plan, and that was it. And Luis Suarez hit the post. I mean, they had a couple that they could have got back in it, but you got to tip your hat. Colombia went out there and won the match.
Well, and then there was the post-game fracas in the stands.
Oh, my Ron Artest, huh?
Players and the Colombian fans. Yeah, it didn't quite get to malice at the Palace levels. It wasn't all throughout the stadium in Charlotte, but, man, yeah, that one section where I guess it was the Uruguayan family members sitting around, that looked pretty looked pretty ugly. And then I mean, so I saw some videos of Dutch fans and English fans that were fighting in bars in Germany yesterday as well. So, hey, you know, this happens.
You asked the question yesterday right before we got off the show.
Mm-hmm.
How serious it was. I told you it's up to 10. Yeah, they're ooh.
Well, I mean, you see, look, there are fights in stands in SEC football stadiums and in bars over the weekends as well. Not sure if it's a matter of family members needing to be ducked and protected in a lot of cases, but a lot of years gone by the wayside between these four opponents. So we should have some good matches on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to that. Too bad we can't all be together. So I got to say, like, there is a difference for me. Like, Christian, I don't know about how much soccer you watch by yourself. I've been watching. Like, I almost texted you yesterday, Matt, when I got home. And was, you know, starting to plan around putting on the Copa America match. I almost wanted to text you. It was like, I hate you. Like, I really hate you for a little bit because last night when I turned the television on, my YouTube TV thought I wanted to watch the Dodgers and Phillies, which in a normal situation, normal Phil, that's what I would put on. Two of the best teams in Major League Baseball. One of them is trying to become the first to 60 wins. The Phillies are really interesting, not just because they're really good, but two of their best players are hurt, They didn't have Harper in the lineup yesterday. They didn't have JT Realmuto yesterday. Of course, the Dodgers are full of stars. Who wouldn't want to watch Shohei Ohtani? You know what I watched? I watched 5 minutes of that. Then I turned on soccer. Matt, that's your influence upon me, and I slightly dislike you just a little bit because of it.
Well, I do apologize. That's for sure. Man, talk about just...
No, you don't. You don't apologize. You should take that. I'm going to tell you, there were friends of mine in high school that tried to convince me that this is what life was going to be for me 10 years after high school. It took 30 years after high school was over, and I blame you. You're their champion. You are these kids' champions.
The thing is, though, you have to disregard American soccer. And I'm not saying don't respect it or don't try to develop it, because it starts in the youth. I was having a conversation with some, it was like, you look at Yamal from Spain, who's a 16-year-old wonder kid, Endrick from Brazil. We don't have talent like that. It's almost like being Georgia football and being the head coach of the Razorbacks. You can't use the same plan you have at Georgia at the same plan that you have at Arkansas. Same thing in soccer. You're not having the same talent. It's a different, and you bring it up with the money ball. And then you have to be able to evaluate and figure it out. The equation's not going to be the same. You know, it's always a problem. If you want to say math problem, whatever. There's a problem and there's a solution. And you got to figure it out, but you can't use the same equation Georgia football uses if you're at Arkansas. Same thing with American soccer.
Well, the idea is just because you play in the same league or you're in the same tournament and it's supposedly the same level, that does not mean that you are playing the same sport.
Right.
Sports are more than just what's happening on the field and between the lines and on the benches and on the sidelines and the decisions that are made. It's how you build a team. It's the resources you have to put that team together and what you're able to do with that team at the same time. You know, so like the two teams I just mentioned, the Phillies and the Dodgers, these are two of the largest fan bases in the country for Major League Baseball, two of the largest cities in the country. Those teams should always be good. Dodgers usually are really good. The Phillies usually are really good. It's a little bit different. That's why I look at Arkansas a little bit more like, well, you got to be like the Royals are right now. You got to make the right decisions. You got to make the right drafts. You got to be lucky in some cases. Take advantage of the top overall pick when you have it. It's not like you get a top overall pick in college, but they hit on Bobby Witt Jr. They didn't miss on that. You know, looks like the Orioles hit on Jackson Holliday. Didn't miss on that. Pirates and Paul Skeens. And yes, by the way, today is Paul Skeens Day. And you can't make as many mistakes. That's what it's. You can't make as many mistakes on players that you choose to come in and play for you. And then you got to go about things in a little bit of a different way, finding value where others don't see it. Is that what America has to do to make a little bit of a dent? Because they fired the coach. They fired Berhalter last night after a 10-day review. I don't think that was any surprise. Is it the coach?
No.
It's not the coach.
It's not the coach.
It's the athletes in the country are doing. It's what they choose to do with their talents.
It's the talent. That's right. Our best athletes don't play soccer. And that's why if you want to get into soccer, you've got to watch other teams, other countries, and see the talent. And then you can see. Then it makes you see when you watch these other teams play. Then you're like, oh, that's a big gap. It's not a small. They trick you know the propaganda how the media does. They trick you into thinking that we're close. We're not close.
They got to get you to watch.
You know what our record is against the top 15 teams. Our last 15 games against the top 15 teams, right. We have zero wins.
That's why I was looking at, you know, they put Berhalter's career record with Team USA to show like how good the team was while he was there. What do I have here on his record? I've got him at 44-13-17. Well, it's a lot more wins than losses, and 14 more wins than ties and losses. But the games that matter are the ones just said.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Other numbers that seem to matter a lot. Did you see the dollar figure for the NBA, if we're talking about some other sports, meaning the industry of the sport, baseball or football or basketball or hockey? There's only one other league that is dealing with more money value than the NBA. $76 billion for 11 years as they are selling their media rights to ESPN, ABC, to Prime Video, and also to NBC Peacock. So now that's not what the NFL was getting. It's not what the NFL got from their last round of negotiations, which concluded, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, in which they're getting $111 billion over 11 years. But the NBA, man, I mean, You got to sprint. Like some of these contract figures that we go through. What did I see? Jaylen Brown just got. Is he about to be making
Tatum
$57 million a year?
He's the number one. He's the highest paid player in the NBA. Yeah.
This is before this contract value came out. This is before the NBA has renegotiated their television contracts. Now, you know, these are all sources. I'm not sure if pen has been put to paper just yet, but after the next year, you just watch the salaries in the NBA just starting to get there. It's already at levels where you would roll your eyes and think it's ridiculous, but what are you supposed to do? There's a certain percentage of revenues in the NBA that go to the players, so it's kind of they have to do it. You're going to end up seeing somebody that's being paid upwards of $75 million a year to play in the NBA.
$1 million a game is about to be what they're getting.
Wow.
That's right. 82 games. They miss about 10 to 12 games a year. You just, the wear and tear, load management, however you want to say it. You know, nobody really has perfect attendance anymore. You just kind of back-to-backs, travel. You just understand you're going to miss a handful of games. So, yeah, some of those guys, hey, if you can get it, you can get it. I never would have thought that, you know, football players make a mil. Peyton Manning was making a mil a game.
Like it's not 82 regular season
games. But you're
playing
16 back then. That's right.
And you're getting the living crap kicked out of you at the same time. Yeah, even on a good day. So, hey, what they end up doing is that you're not necessarily, like, so they're all players. Yes, they're athletes, they're professional athletes, and they're players, teammates. You know what all what professional athletes have become in a lot of cases, and I'm talking about the cream of the crop, the ones that'll be making $30 million up to $50 million. They're all CEOs of their own little personal industry. They have their own brands. They have their own production companies. They have their own record labels. They have their own clothing lines. I mean, these are not just athletes. For back in the day, for all of the athletes that sold shoes in the off season to make money. You know, that was their little industry, just trying to keep afloat, essentially. They weren't CEOs. Now, all of these guys are running their own individual companies while at the same time. Now, they're probably paying somebody to do it because you got to be a real, if you're going to be an athlete, what do you got to focus on? You got to be there at practice. You got to be studying film. You got to be a teammate. You got to be an athlete first and foremost. That's what you're being paid for. But after that, there's a million other things that they end up getting involved in. Because what are you going to do with $80 million a year? Just let it sit in a bank account and accrue interest? Actually, doesn't sound like that bad of an idea. Halftime on this Thursday will include a little bit of a change because Bob Holt is on vacation. So they actually do allow Bob on vacation. So we won't have him this week. He'll be headed to SEC Media Days next week. We'll visit with him while he's there or potentially when he comes back. So on this Thursday, things are just a little bit different. Brett Dolan does stop by for a usual visit at about 1:15. We got news after the show concluded yesterday that Will McIntyre is choosing to use an extra year of eligibility to come back and pitch at Arkansas for a sixth year. And we will have Will joining halftime in about an hour to discuss his decision and just kind of looking back on his career and looking forward to what we hope will be another exciting Arkansas baseball season. So looking forward to talking to Mac. I've known that kid since he was 2 years old, so it's fun to have him on the show.
And we won't play Return of the Mac. I'm sure that's overplayed, right?
Well, I mean, it is his walkout song. That's what they play when he comes out of the bullpen.
Then we might play it for him.
Is there another song that has Mac in the title?
McFly.
Big Mac Attack? Is there like I don't know if McDonald's is a sponsor or anything, so I don't think we can go in that direction. I'm not sure. So, you know, we got an hour to think about it. You're the musical genius. Mm. I know you'll figure something out. And if we have to go to Return of the Mac, you know what? It is his walkout, so I guess it fits anyway. Oh, yes, and your calls and texts as we go throughout the show, 877-377-6963 to get with us today. And there it is, Guy in Fort Smith. Thank you very much. I won't tell you what it is because we'll have to play it later on in the show. And halftime is back right after this.
They were so convincing in their argument, they swung me.
This is Halftime.
Eastside Liquor has a large selection of summertime lake drinks. Stop by to pick up some Welch's Vodka Cranberry and Vodka Transfusion, Minute Maid Spiked Strawberry Daiquiri and Lime Margarita, Bikini Island Variety Pack, some Smirnoff Smash Vodka Soda. Try their Gin and Juice Citrus and the Variety Pack by Dre and Snoop. High Noon Vodka Seltzers, Sun Cruiser Iced Tea Vodka, Surfside Charter Pack, Topo Chico Hard Seltzer, and White Claw Hard Seltzer. Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Well, the official Arkansas basketball roster just grew by four players officially. I think there are three of them we'd heard of, and then another who looks like he will be the one of the walk-ons coming over from Kentucky as well. This release just coming out from men's basketball within the last 30 minutes. Four additions to the roster. These additions are Jaden Cariletwa, Aiden Kelly, Melo Sanchez, and Kareem Watkins. Now, we'd heard of all of those except for Watkins, who had been at Kentucky the last 4 years. He is the walk-on that will, I guess, they still have Blake Lawson on the roster. I know he's not going to be able to play because of his
Was it Achilles or was it an ACL?
I think it's an ACL. This release does not include Kazmir Chavis. Cash is one of the cooler nicknames you can have for a basketball player. Cal got that commitment a couple of days ago from Chavis, who had been, I think he was committed to Washington, but then opened up his recruitment once again as a shooting guard, 6'1", 170. This is one of the developmental players Cal was speaking of that. You know, might not see him all that much, at least not the first year, but this could be somebody that, you know, you see grow into a role over the time that he is at Arkansas. So it looks like the 13 scholarships are all spoken for now, Matt. And you got one of the walk-ons in Kareem Watkins. And I don't know, like, you keep Lawson on the roster. I just don't know if you get a chance to replace him as far as an extra walk-on. So it looks like there's 14 out of 15 spots that are spoken for right now, and it's the next thing we'd be waiting for is the rest of the non-conference schedule. So Kentucky put theirs out today, so who knows, maybe sometime soon we'll know exactly what the non-conference schedule looks like.
Man, this is such a fun part of the year for the basketball team, and just to be up there on campus, running open gym, getting scrimmage in every day, working on your craft, getting to play pickup ball, getting shots up. This time of the summer, you go to class in the morning, then you go hoop in the afternoon. It's a fun time of year to be up there, and you'd like to see him getting in work. I wonder if it's more structured now, because back then you could be with the strength and conditioning coach more than anybody in the off season. You had so many hours you could get in per week. Now I think it's a little bit different. It's a little more structured, but it's still not a lot of people on campus. You're just up there playing ball every day, going to class a little bit. It's a good time.
Well, and it's also, I mean, it's a group of players that have never played before together.
You're learning. Yeah, you're figuring what can he do? Where does he like the ball? How do they, you know, who are some bigs that can catch? That was one of the first things you always tried to figure out when you got to a new basketball team, was what were their strengths and weaknesses, but who could actually catch a pass that was thrown to you? Who could catch with one hand? Who had some ball skills?
Who do you trust?
There you go. You're starting to build the rapport and the trust. You're exactly right.
Well, this is a matter of getting to know your teammates, not just like getting to know them, you know, your likes and the things that you're interested in, and you know, maybe some stuff about your family and all of that, and getting to become friends, but knowing the little intricacies about each of these teammates. Not necessarily, like, who can shoot, right? That's one of the big things you wonder about. One of the small things you'd wonder about, and it's not so small, is who can catch a pass, you know? Who do you trust to lead the break? Who do you trust to trail in the break? Who do you, you know, how? This is the time where teammates really are getting to know each other. And, I mean, they don't know each other. They don't know each other at all in most cases. I mean, you get a couple guys that are coming in from Kentucky, so they'll know each other. They didn't play together all that much on the court at the same time, thinking of Adu, Tiro, and Big Z. They weren't on the court at the same time too often. But otherwise, it's always thought, you know, there's when official practice starts, and that's important. But you want to know your teammates, and I mean those little intricacies, before practice starts. And that makes this time of the year important for, and I think you've hit on this too, about, you know, like Talen Green and his receivers. Just getting out and playing catch, you know, running some routes with each other, figuring out their timing together. It's those little things that you'll notice when you're watching the game. It doesn't just automatically happen because you're practicing together. It comes from kind of messing around together, which is what this is about now.
Well, and as receivers, when you're talking about Talen Green and developing, you know, some receivers kind of, they have that straight line speed. They can go one way, but it's hard for them to shift a little bit. Some receivers can really catch that back shoulder real good. Some receivers are really out there with their hands. You start figuring out, man, when they run a slant, this is who I read, man. He knows how to get going. Who has your best outside release? Who can get that early separation? You know, who keeps their head down while you're running the ball and picks it up to be able to track a football on a deep route? You know, you're learning it's practice, but it's fun, and you have to enjoy it. And that's one thing I always did, was I enjoyed that stuff. And you hope that these kids, that when they're doing that they are enjoying it.
Got a text in from Casey in Ozark asking about, you think there are going to be any marquee non-conference games in Bud Walton Arena this year? Now, I don't think that the non-conference games that have been scheduled are at Bud Walton Arena. I'm having a heck of a time trying to find, I don't have notes on them, but who the games are against and where they're all being played. I know the ACC game is at Miami. I know you're playing Michigan in Madison Square Garden, Illinois in Kansas City. I don't know of any, as of right now, man, I don't know of any what you would say is a marquee team or like a major power conference school that's coming into Bud Walton Arena. You're playing on the road for one of them, and then a couple of neutral site games. Now, I mean, you expected that would happen as far as the ACC game is concerned, because you got Duke at home last year. But outside of that, that's like some of the stuff that I'm wondering about. You know, who are you getting coming into Bud Walton Arena? I like the schedule, or at least the opponents that they've put together for now, because they're games that will be nationally televised, and it's going to get, you know, people watching Arkansas, talking about Arkansas, and they're good teams that you're playing. But you do want to get, I think you want to get at least one major program to come into your building each year, which probably means you're going to go into their building the next year, and that's where the issue seems to lie more than anything else. 877-377-6963 for thoughts on this. JT says, who can shoot immediately when catching the ball, where they want the pass, how much can you lead them on the pass? There you go, just little intricacies about figuring out something about your teammates that you want to figure out pretty much right now. So, and it looks like the roster is complete. I guess this all depends on whether or not you can replace Lawson Blake on the roster, because I just don't expect that he's going to be able to play or even practice. And I know that for walk-on, you know, being able to practice is a really important aspect of it as well. And Cal got one of his practice players to come over from Kentucky. Just took a while for it to be announced.
They got a same thing going on with the U.S. Olympic team, Phil. I'm kind of wondering who's going to be the starting five. But they had to let a guy go in Kawhi Leonard. They gave him his shot. I believe they're bringing up Derek White. But the team, you know, are you going to start some of the younger guys, and then you bring on Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron as your like second unit to go out there and get some run in? I mean, there's just so much talent on this team. It'd be interesting. You know, does Bam Adebayo start? Because, you know, or is he in the second unit? How are you going about it? I like Bam Adebayo. Jason Tatum, clearly going to be one of the leaders on the team as well.
So the starting five in their win over Canada yesterday, Matt, was Devin Booker, LeBron, Embiid, Stephon Curry, and Drew Holiday. None of them played any more than 20 minutes. Nobody on the team played any more than 21, and that was Adebayo coming off the bench.
And what you do, Phil, and this you kind of have two groups. Like, it's not necessarily you're going to just change all five guys every time, but you kind of start getting together your groups. It's like, man, these guys play good together. These guys play good together. And so you bring – and then that's the familiarity you're talking about with the Razor. But same thing there. You kind of start dividing up if it's a group of six or another group of six, and you're kind of – now, you will still interchange. If foul trouble or something's happened, you will adjust, but you kind of start getting the groups that you're going to go with.
The bench is the thing that outdid Canada yesterday. You had five off the bench that played the most minutes. AD, Anthony Edwards. Edwards, by the way, Matt, he did lead Team USA in scoring yesterday with 13 off the bench. So he says he's the number one option, and there he's got the box score to at least show that he led them in scoring in their first game. Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum, and Bam Adebayo were the five that got the most minutes off the bench.
All young guys right there, Phil. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We were a little old on some of those other guys. I like that young group right there.
Well, combo of LeBron, Embiid, and Curry, they were in the negative aspect of plus minus on the box score. It was the bench that did, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting. And I saw where, they were down 11-1 right after tip-off. But going to be a little bit difficult for Canada to be able to sustain anything of that nature. Canada's got a team, though. I mean, you know, just look at some of the guys here on this club. RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, SGA, Jamal Murray. Can I call him Jamal?
Jamal Murray. They're all B minus type players on that. You know, Anthony Edwards is going to be an A player, but right now they don't have that girth to them. You know, they don't have that strength to them. They're still, hey, Canada.
I like it when you talk dirty to me. No Zach Edey yesterday either. He did not play.
No Kevin Durant. 5 days, yeah. 5 days in a row, calf strain. That would be the question I have for you, and maybe we'll have to check it out. But Derek White, who's the next guy? If Durant can't go, who's the guy you bring up for Durant?
I mean, are you looking potentially at Jaylen Brown now? He looked like, I mean, did you see his tweet that he sent to Nike yesterday after the decision was made?
I don't understand how he's not on the team.
He tweets Nike, so we're doing this. Essentially, he's saying Nike's making the choices for Grant Hill and as far as the roster is concerned.
Jaylen Brown should be on this team. There's no question about it.
How can you be MVP of the NBA Finals?
And be an American and not make the USA Olympic team. Exactly.
All NBA exactly. First team for how many years now?
That would be the guy. If Kevin Durant can't go, unless you got to go get another big. But I'm playing LeBron at the four. That's just what I'm doing in this tournament. So you can go get the thing about Brown too, Phil. He's an elite defender as well, and that's what I really like about him.
877-377-6963. If you have any thoughts on that, get over to Joe's Grill and Cantina today. It's Throwback Thursday. Got a big rotation of Cuco's classics that you've enjoyed for years. Ask about the ultimate margarita. It is on special today at Joe's Grill and Cantina. Tomorrow's Fajita Friday, $1 off any and all fajitas all day long, and the flavored margaritas are the featured drink. joesfortsmith.com if you want to put it in order or just get a look at their menu, and you can always visit Joe's Fort Smith at 3400 South 74th in Fort Smith, right across from Harps. Joe's Grilling Cantina, great Tex-Mex and better service. We'll be back and wrap up hour number one right after this break.
This is Halftime.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at GoPascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You know, one of the things in college sports that's difficult is just knowing all the names on your teams on a year-by-year basis, with the transfer portal being such an integral part of building teams and also in some ways tearing them down. So it's good to have familiar names on an annual basis, and you got one of them that's with us here on Halftime right now, and he's made a decision to stay at Arkansas for one more year, and it is Will McIntyre. We appreciate your time, Will. It is always great to talk to you, whether in person or here on the radio. How are you today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing good. Really good. It was exciting yesterday, seeing, first of all, that you were deciding to come back and that you wanted to come on the show to talk about it. So, you know, they got some pieces in the Democrat about it, too. And what's the response been since the decision became public?
It's been awesome. There's no better fan base in the country and so supportive. And it's been, I think it made the decision a lot easier getting that support.
Hey, Will, it's Matt Jones here, man. I'm a big fan of yours. What was the number one reason that you decided to stay at Arkansas? And who else? Where else were you thinking about going? How is this transfer portal? How has it all been?
I never got in the portal. It was just mainly a decision on whether or not to start my professional career. I've heard from multiple different teams that they were interested, but it just didn't sit right with me that, you know, the last two seasons of the Arkansas have ended on our home field. And it's also just been a dream of mine getting to play here. And I just thought, you know, with one last year, I should come back and, you know, go try and chase down a national championship one more time. And really just want to do it for the fans and the program, but especially Coach Van Horn. He's been working on getting one for a long time, and just think he really deserves it.
I think what you're talking about is it's something that Matt Jones from the Democrat Gazette had hit on in a column that was titled "You Want Will McIntyre on Your Team." You know what it's like to play at the College World Series. I mean, you had a great performance against Auburn in 2022. You know what it's like to enjoy postseason success at Arkansas, like you did in 2022. And you've been around for other years where there were big things that are happening as well. You're kind of a link. You are the link back to the last time Arkansas advanced out of the first round. That seems to me, from when I'm hearing you talk about this, it's like, I think you could have gone either way here. So, I mean, is the decision more about the program and getting the team back to Omaha, or is it more about, you know, what you want out of your career?
Oh, it's 100% the team. Getting to Omaha, when we were there, we had multiple guys on the team that were there to experience it before that team got there. And they kind of just guided us through what it was going to be like and what it's going to feel like when you're out there playing. And I just think it's important that a team that wants to make a run has a guy that kind of has that experience, and I feel like I have that to offer. But I just think this program is too important to me, and I've given 5 years, so why not one more? But I just think this program deserves a title, and any pieces that help fit into that puzzle of searching one are, you know, going to be greatly appreciated. And luckily, I feel like I've been blessed to be one of those pieces.
Hey, Will, how do you see your role being on the team next year? If it's a reliever, if it's starting, if it's closing, and who is maybe another pitcher that we haven't got to see yet that you think is going to have a breakout year next year for the Hogs?
I honestly couldn't care less what my role is. I just want to be able to contribute and help do whatever the team needs of me. And then, like, for a pitcher to break out, if he's healthy, I think it's going to be Hunter Dietz. This fall, he had an unbelievable fall, and unfortunately, he just wasn't healthy in the spring. So if we can get him healthy and he does what we know he can do, he's going to be a big piece next year.
Dude, I've tried to figure out, like, I've written down all of the pitchers that I think could be part of the starting rotation next season, and I about ran out of room on my notebook, Will. And you've started lots of games. I think you're comfortable in a lot of different situations, but it's like you can't put a rotation. You could put a major league rotation together. If you had a 5-man rotation, maybe so. But right now, it's just like I can't wait to fall ball and watch these guys do their thing. Because I really like what they've put together. You know, as far as the pitching staff is concerned, they've only added 3 out of the portal, and it's an amazingly talented staff. And man, it may be even a little deeper than you were last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been cool watching them piece together this team. It's been kind of odd. I've been caught in 2 different eras. I came in as a freshman before the portal, and I came in and I was the one having to learn names. And now it's just like, it seems like it's different every year, or you got to learn 20, 30 names every year. And it seems like they brought in some good pieces for next year.
Hey, we had this remarkable season by Hagen Smith last year. How fun was that to see this up close and personal? And what's something that you've gleaned, that you've learned from Hagen Smith watching him the last couple of years and being a teammate?
Oh, man, it's definitely his work ethic. I've never seen somebody have a work ethic like him. And it's just something I inspire to try and get on his level of how hard he works. And then it's been awesome. I've been blessed in my career to watch 2 fantastic pitchers here, Kevin and Hagen. And both of them have their different successes, and it was awesome to get and watch both of them and learn from both of them.
Now, obviously you're committing back to Arkansas for another year, so you won't be worried about whether your name will be called the next, in the 3 days of the major league draft. But there's got to be an excitement level, from you about your teammates and where they could go. I mean, it's like there could be 7-8 guys drafted in the 20-round draft, and we're all wondering where Hagen goes. And of course, there's like 6 or 7 other guys where their future also depends on this as well. And that's like, it's when you start to get a little misty-eyed about these guys. We're like, well, we'll never see them play at Arkansas again, but can't wait to see them play moving forward.
Yeah, it's been cool. Every year I've been here, you just get a group of guys that go get the opportunity to play pro ball, and I think this group's going to hit a little harder than others because I was here the whole time for Hagen, Stovall, Kendall, all those guys. I've been here their whole time for their career here, and spending 3 years with them, you got really close with them, and you're going to be extremely happy for them to go on to the next opportunity for them, but it's also just going to be a little hard to see just because those are some of your best friends and they're moving on.
Hey, Will, so what is your favorite pitch, and then what is something maybe you're working on this offseason, or what's a pitch that you want to be able to throw better this next season?
Definitely going to say my cutter. That's my go-to. And I've been working on my curveball to try and just make it more competitive. I kind of lost it this season, and I feel like that's just kind of hurting me because I only have really a fastball and a slider, or the cutter is my primary off speed. And then currently in the works of shortening up my arm motion a little bit. It kind of throughout the season just got a little bit longer, and I think that kind of contributed to maybe a little fatigue, maybe a little worse command. So we're working on shortening my arm path up a little bit more.
You'd hit on something also that Matt Hobbs had mentioned during in his interview with Matt Jones, and it was the idea of fatigue. And we had some listeners text in when you were I think the most used pitcher in the SEC for the first 6 to 7 weeks of the season, and they thought maybe it might be a little difficult to keep that kind of usage up. And he said that maybe there were a couple other pitchers that they could have looked at. But man, I mean, it's tough to not want the ball, right? I mean, they call you up in the bullpen. It's like you always want the ball. But when did you start to feel that fatigue? And you'd said what it did a little bit to your cutter, but that obviously might have been a little bit difficult to deal with because you knew you were going to get called on still.
I never really truly felt fatigue. It's just kind of something that probably just happened that I probably just didn't notice, because as a player, you don't really think about that kind of stuff in the moment. You're just out there to compete. But looking back and stuff, my numbers definitely took a hit towards the end of the season, just because I wasn't pitching to the best of my ability and lost command for some pitches that I needed to be a competitive pitcher out there.
Well, I don't know if y'all like the football team and y'all do captains, but I do know you're a leader and you're going to be a leader on this next year's team. What does that mean to you, knowing that, you know, guys coming in the portal, freshmen coming in, you're a veteran, and just by nature, you're going to be a leader? Is that a little extra responsibility on your shoulders?
No, definitely. I just want to be able to set the example on what it means and how to act as a Razorback. Program's got a high standard. It's tough to live up to, and if you're able to get all the guys on board for that, you know, the potential is unlimited.
Well, what is your hope, or what was your dream, you know, growing up as a kid who's, you know, got a family that's obsessed with baseball? And I know that on a personal level, and you know, you yourself, obviously you have to be obsessed if you're going to pitch, you know, at the level that you have pitched. But, you know, I grew up wanting to play in the major leagues. I did not watch college baseball growing up. I did not have a Razorback baseball program that I could, you know, live and breathe and die with. You did. What was it that you were growing up that you wanted to accomplish as a pitcher? Can you put a value judgment on it, major leagues or the Razorbacks? It's not like you have to have one or the other, but, you know, it just feels like you being a Razorback just means it means something different.
Oh, yeah, it means a lot. Coming from the state, living in Central Arkansas, there's no professional teams. I mean, you got some minor league teams in this state, but there's, like, no true, like, top professional teams in the state. And, you know, the state gets behind the school. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever sport it is, the state rallies behind that sport, because just means so much for us, because we don't have any professional teams to root for. And I think that's what makes Arkansas a very unique and awesome school to be able to play at. And I just think my dreams were always to try and play for the Hogs. And if professional came around, awesome. Me and you, you got to see me grow up at Dickie Stevens, because my dad would work with you and always bring me to the games. And I think that's just kind of where the obsession with baseball, like, trying to get to a high level of it, really started, getting to watch all those guys come up through the minor leagues. We got to see, I mean, you got to see, like, prime Mike Trout.
Yep.
Through some other guys, like C.J. Crown.
Richards.
Yeah. Jason, all those Segura. Guys come up through the.
We saw some great players together, that's for sure. That is for sure. How do you define what a successful season is for Arkansas baseball? I sometimes have difficulty when I look at a 15-week regular season and you see such excellence during that season, but don't make it out of a regional, and you look at it and be like, well, it was a bad season, or we didn't accomplish our goals, so this wasn't a good season. When you're like, well, you did win a division, 20 wins in the SEC is really difficult to accomplish, but in college sports, it is about the postseason. How do you define what a successful season at Arkansas is?
I definitely say the standard of this program is the postseason. With how much success this program's had in the last 15, 20 years, it's definitely based off of your postseason success now, and not based off of your in-season performance. Everybody really just cares about trying to bring home the big one for this program.
Well, we'll leave it there. I always appreciate you hopping on, whether it was on the podcast or here on Halftime. I did run into Madison at a Travelers game recently, because the guy,
of course,
he is more of a baseball nut than I am, and more than you are. So I wasn't surprised when I saw him there. Yeah. Maybe we'll see you out there too sometime. Will, thanks for joining. Congrats on the decision. Looking forward to seeing you pitch in the fall.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Will.
You got it. Will McIntyre, Arkansas pitcher. And certainly one of the ones that I think anybody listening is always going to remember. From Bryant, grew up a Razorback fan, and he's going to take that Razorback career to the absolute very end. 877-377-6963 for calls and texts on Halftime. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
You never quite know where Brett Dolan is these days. When you get a chance to talk to him here on Halftime during Arkansas athletic season, you pretty much know he's in Fayetteville or he'll be covering those games. But these days, he's somewhere else, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Tennessee, Houston. Brett, how you doing today, and where are you today?
I am in Arkansas today. How can you believe that? And no, it's going to be back for a few weeks around my travels, but you're right. I try and take advantage of a little bit of downtime before the schedule dictates where we have to be soon enough, I guess.
You've spent a lot of your life and still have family in Houston. Everybody, you know, through Hurricane Beryl, I know there's some really frightening stories from the flooding and the power being out and the heat down there. Are your people okay in Houston?
It's touch and go. The power's the problem. I mean, it was 3 days without power, and then I think it came on, and then it went off again. So my daughter might run away at some point and join the circus. I don't know if they have air conditioning because it's not been great. If that's a Category 1, I know one thing. I don't ever want to see a Category 4 or 5 direct hit.
Yeah, no kidding. That was Category 1. Just this, and we, you know, we got a lot of rain here in Arkansas from it, but most everybody's been able to keep their electricity up. So I hope it gets restored quickly, and that your daughter doesn't have to join the circus, because she's a talented softball player, and I don't think they play that in the circus.
No, she'd have to be a juggler or lead in the elephants or something, and I don't think she'd be up for that.
Yeah, pretty much. You've seen Caitlin Clark in person. You've actually seen her in college in person, and now in the WNBA. Really, within a couple of months, you've seen her play twice. You know, I'd made a mistake a couple of days ago talking about the impact of a couple of the players that have come into the WNBA this year, and where, you know, some of the rise in popularity lies. And I said, well, you got to have two of them to, you know, for this to work, like the Bird Magic thing. But, you know, and I was corrected by a listener that said, just look at the idea. Well, where did you watch her play? Was it in the smaller arena, or was it in an NBA arena? None of the Chicago Sky games where Angel Reese is playing are being moved to NBA arenas, like all of the Fever games on the road are.
Well, that's correct. I was in Phoenix, and it was where the Suns play, so it was an 18,000-seat arena. I don't think they ever open up the upper deck. They did. I was in the second row from the top in the end zone of the upper deck, just to kind of put it into perspective. It was a noon game, and the arena was jacked, and I had a couple of other buddies that were there that I didn't know at the time, and I said I felt like there were 66% of the fans were either wearing Iowa gear or Fever gear with the 22 on it, and he thought there was about 60-some percent, so we were in the same ballpark, and it was funny because the public address announcer in the fourth quarter kept urging the Phoenix fans to be the X Factor, to be loud, and the funny part was two-thirds of them weren't rooting for the Mercury. So, no, it was crazy just to see her impact and the people that stick around after the game just trying to get an autograph or show up early just trying to take a picture. It's a phenomenon, and there are many good young WNBA players, but there's only one who moves the needle for road games in that manner.
Yeah, Angel Reese is like the ninth grader that's playing with the seventh grader. She's got to work on her game. I'm not saying she's not talented, but she needs to add something to her bag. No question about it. Hey, Brett, I was keeping up with this Olympics and with the U.S. men's basketball team. And you had Kawhi Leonard leave with Derek White coming in. I was going to see, do you like that? Is there any team out there that scares you, or any team out there that you think could beat this Olympic team?
I don't know if they scare me. I think they could lose. I mean, we've seen that before. And the tough part, Matt, and you know this as well as anybody from your background, even when you have the best players in the world, it's tough to throw them into a gym for a couple of weeks and then say, go get them. And while I have great confidence that their abilities will be enough, I mean, you never know. I mean, it could be a game somewhere along the line that they get tripped up in. And it's all about understanding your roles and being willing to score less or shoot less or do whatever you normally do at an NBA game and kind of play for the good of the country and the team. So, I mean, it's the event that I try not to miss once they get to the Olympics, just because we know who these guys are. It's not like some of the other sports where we're learning as we watch. We know who the great NBA players are. But I'm always curious, Matt, when they put this roster together, because you feel like it takes more to put that roster together sometimes than it does anything else to make sure you have the right combination of people. And I guess we'll find out together.
Yeah, I think they still stay a little old. A Tyrese Maxey. I know Damon Lillard's getting a little old, but there's just a couple other players. De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento. Durant, yeah, right, like that you would like to kind of see, but you get it. You understand because the talent's there.
No, and I threw Durant in just because he's on that older element that you mentioned. But, yeah, I'm with you. Maxey, I saw him play in person this year, and I took my kid to a game in Houston with the Rockets and the Sixers, and I said, who is this guy? We knew who he was, but, I mean, he was by far the best player out there. And there are another wave of young players that are coming through.
Jalen
and not
Jackson,
all of them are. Yeah. Yep, there's another one, right? Not all on this Olympic team. I don't know what that means in 4 years from now, but you kind of get that seniority thing, and it is an older team, there's no doubt. You know, even Steph's not the youngest guy ever, certainly LeBron's 40-plus, got a son now in the NBA, for crying out loud, and Durant and others. So it's a team that's certainly not young by any stretch.
What else do you have interest in the Olympics? Like the two events that I always like, and I'm not like, you know, 200 meters, 400 meters, all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about the actual sport that they're playing and the competition they're taking part in. I've always liked speed skating when it comes to the Winter Olympics, and I like cycling in the Summer Olympics. I mean, when you have to have your event in something that sounds as cool as a velodrome, it's going to be pretty cool. But I love the speed aspect of that, and also the idea that they're just like a millimeter away from having a giant crash with 13 bicycles.
You're right. That is the fun part. I think the unique aspect of the Olympics is kind of getting lost in a sport that maybe you didn't care about prior to the Olympics. And even though we've all watched track and field, the one thing, while I'll probably be dialing in on that more than normal, you know, I ran into Sean, our incredible SID for track, for men's and women's track, yesterday, and I said, are you going? And he said, of course I'm going. I'm covering this and that, and I'm covering a few Razorbacks that are involved in golf and swimming and whatnot. But I said, well, tell me about track. And he goes, between the current and former Razorbacks and those that train here, there are 34 track athletes representing 10 countries. I mean, it feels like Arkansas is dominating track and field. So it should be hard to tune in and not come across a Razorback if you're watching it over a half-hour period. My fear is that there might be somebody running, and I'm not realizing who they are until it's too late. So maybe I need to educate myself a little more on who these 34 are, because that's incredible to think that many current former Razorbacks, or even a few that train here, are representing their countries in the Olympics.
Hey, Brett, earlier on the show, we had Will McIntyre join us. And, you know, yesterday he announced he's coming back for a sixth year at Arkansas. And I think it's a feel-good story for anybody listening, because this is somebody, when he came on, he said, I think the main reason he wants to come back is program-based, not personally based, because he could have gone on and started his pro career, you know, even after being undrafted. I think I think somebody would have signed him and see what happens for him. But he talked more about wanting to get the program back to Omaha than he did about his own personal achievements. I think for fans of the Razorbacks, it hits a little bit differently. Like, you could have Kendall Diggs come back, and I'd love to have Diggs back. He's a great player and great kid, but he's also not from Arkansas. And if it's from somebody like Will from Arkansas, it hits a little bit differently.
It might, and I got a kick out of listening. I was in my car when you guys had him on, and I enjoyed just the conversation with Will, because I'll be honest with you, when the season ended, that wasn't quite on my radar. Yeah. And normally I don't whiff on things, but I kind of whiffed on that as far as Will returning. And, you know, the name that popped into my head, Phil, was Kirby Connell of Tennessee. And I know Kirby was a left-hander, but you're talking about this veteran pitcher who comes into some key situations, not all closing, sometimes in the seventh or eighth inning, and just provides some veteran outs in the course of a run to Omaha and beyond. So I don't know if he's got that in him or whatnot, but, you know, just that guy who's probably not a huge pro prospect but can certainly have great success at the college level. And I'm also happy for his dad, Madison, because I think he said he wasn't sure what his dad was going to ever do if he ever stopped playing here because he'd have to buy season tickets. So at least dad can get in on the pass list for one more year.
Hey, Brett, I'm assuming you saw the Coach Gundy thing and the DUI with their running back and just how it was all handled. Are you surprised? I know he's a player's coach, and I think he had his players back in how he was going about it. But are you surprised? And I'm sure there's an in-house punishment of some kind. But are you surprised with something that serious that there's no game time missed?
I thought so. I guess it was just kind of a reminder for all of us that we're in just this different era of college sports. Because in your era, if you did that, I'm guessing you'd miss a game or two or something, even if it was the first game of the year or a non-conference opponent or whatnot. I'm guessing that probably would have had some weight or some repercussions beyond just an in-house suspension. And we've just taken the rule book over the last 10 years and just thrown it out the window and everything. So what we used to think we understood or knew about college sports is just flip it to the reverse. And that seems to be where we're headed right now. I was a little bit surprised. I think he's a good kid. I mean, I think he's got a great future, but obviously it was a mistake that is one that he's going to have to kind of work through.
Well, so AJ Green transferred over to Oklahoma State. Okay. And this, I'm just throwing this out there as just a situation. I'm not saying AJ would do this, but let's just say that it was AJ Green instead of Ollie Gordon.
Different rules for different folks, huh?
He gets suspended for a game, right? He's not the featured back.
Yes.
He's not the Doak Walker Award winner.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it just, I don't think there's any margin for error for any athletic program now to not have butts in seats, people watching, people buying T-shirts, buying hot dogs. I just don't think there's any margin for error. And coaches don't want to get to the end of the year. And this is a different year than we've ever had in college football. It used to be you lose a game early, you might be done. And while that's not the case, if you get to the end of the year and you're 10-2 versus 9-3, that's a huge difference for making that playoff. You make the playoff, you get more money, your athletic department's happy. They don't. And all of a sudden, they call into question what you're doing when now there's 12 teams going to this darn thing. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some more things because old guys kind of raise our eyebrows and think, that didn't happen 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Style points are back, too, as far as like how you beat a team and what the final score is and all of that. I mean, with all these at-large bids for the college football 12, some of it is what your record is and if you win your championship game and where you're ranked after that. But as far as what will be six at-large bids, like the style points, they're huge into this next thing, aren't they? That's like a major aspect of it.
Yeah, we thought we kind of got away from that when it wasn't just four teams where it was a larger base of teams. But all we did was just shift the barrier down. Instead of worrying about the best 11-1, 11-2 teams, now we're worried about the best 9-3 teams, and quite frankly, there will be more of those. That fourth and fifth team in the playoff, I always kind of raise my eyebrow, like we spent a lot of time debating this, but the fifth-seeded team is not going to beat the number one seed. It's probably not going to happen unless it's just this bizarre year where an Ohio State is worthy of being a 1 or 2, but they happen to be a 4. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have a lot of teams at 9-3 and 10-2, and I still think it's going to diminish the regular season in some capacity without these must-win games, but I think we're going to get to November, and it's really going to be chaos for teams trying to prove their point to be in, because what we've done is say, now that we have a 12-team playoff, who cares if you're not in it? If you're a team that is worthy of going to the Outback Bowl, we don't care anymore because you're not in the college football playoff. So I think that puts even more pressure on teams, unfortunately, to be in, because it's either you're worthy of it or you're not relevant.
That's valid points. All valid. You're going to be watching the All-Star game? And should they be wearing their usual uniforms instead of league uniforms? Do you see the uniforms that Major League Baseball has for the American and National League? They look like
meaning to look.
They look like they're softball uniforms.
Yeah, that's what I'm fearful of. They should be wearing their regular uniforms. I am going to watch it, Phil. You and I are old-timers. We're baseball guys. We watched this back in eras where it meant something. But I'm curious to see a Paul Skeens, a Gunnar Henderson, De La Cruz from Cincinnati. I want to see some of these young players. I hope they put on a good show for us, because that game could kind of use a jolt, and certainly there's another wave of young talent that we were just talking about with the NBA All-Star team or the Olympic team. I think there's a wave coming in Major League Baseball, too, and I hope they show out.
Brett, we'll leave it there. Appreciate your time, as always. Next week on Thursday is kind of a crazy day with the player. We're going to have some Razorback players, might have Coach Pittman. So we'll figure out what happens next week, okay?
You got it.
Thanks, Brett.
That's Brett Dolan. Joins us most Thursdays on Halftime, but next Thursday is the day that Sam Pittman and the Razorback players will be at Media Days, and they'll be making the rounds. And
we got some of them last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we'll get them again.
Yeah, did we have Rocket? I remember he was the best basketball player on the team. We knew that. We had KJ as well. But Armstrong's going to be there. Landon Jackson, and I'm trying to think of the other.
Taylen Green.
Yeah, there we go, man. That's so good. Yeah.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com. This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.